Nicely with Martin Bester.
Our first special guest on the show this morning is Chief Economist Hugh Heim, doing, and he's been busy lately, want hy moet baie kommentaar lewer. Dawie Root, dankie vir jou tyd, Dawie, en welkom in het leer. Welkom in my atelier vir 'n slag. Laas was het in jou atelier gewees. What a time to be alive!
Goeiemôre ook aan julle. Dankie vir die uitnodiging.
Gaan met jou beter as die land?
Dit gaan met my baie beter as die land, dit kan ek weer sê.
Luister, ons gaan begin, ons baie moeite gesels, maar ons gaan definitief begin by die Trump tariffs. Dit is, ek denk vir meeste van ons, for most of us, it's very hard to understand that this could possibly be seen as a good strategy because it seems so dramatic. Trump tariffs. Can I start there? Why do you think, what is the popular opinion? Why would he be doing this strategically? Because they must think that they're going to win from it.
Okay. Well, there are many arguments for and against the so-called tariffs. And remember, a tariff is simply an import tax, basically. Yes. And if you listen to the two sides of the story, you will hear some truths on both sides and some untruths on both sides. In the case of Trump, what he reckons is that America is the world's biggest consumer, and that is indeed the case. So America does import from the rest of the world. Let's call him the consumer of last instance. But when he talks about consumption, he only talks about physical stuff that is manufactured, so the so-called trade account. And there indeed is a deficit between America and the rest of the world. They can import more than what they export to the rest of the world. So he doesn't like that. But what it excludes is certain non-physical stuff, like, for example, computer games that they export, or software that they export, or Googling stuff and things like that. And if you include that, then, of course, the picture changes completely. Apart from that, the Americans are being paid for being the world's most important consumer. And they are being paid in a way that the US dollar is the world's most important reserve currency, allowing the Americans to maintain a living standard well above a level that would have been the case if it wasn't for the fact that they've got the world's most important reserve currency.
Yeah.
So as you can see, there are some truths and some untruths in here. So why is he doing this? I think what he's trying to achieve is trying to have his cake and eat it. He wants a weaker US dollar, for example, because he wants to make their exports more competitive. At the same time, he wants the rest of the world to buy more from the Americans and from the Americans to buy less from the rest of the world and move factories back to the United States.
He wants to export more than they import.
Yes.
And to do that, they need to get a better deal. That's why the dollar must be weaker.
Yes. So and that's what he's trying to achieve. But it doesn't make sense at another level also. Because he wants the factories to be moved back to the United States. But if you ask the Americans, they don't want to work in factories. And in fact, if you look at the composition of economies, you will find that modern economies like the United States, they are pretty much service orientated. So why do you want factories when people don't want to work in factories? And economy is actually not growing in the factory part of the economy. We call it the secondary sector. The economies grow in the tertiary part of the service-orientated part of the. So there are so many different moving parts. But Donald Trump has really turned the world upside down because there were certain set rules, the World Trade Organization. He simply ignores the World Trade Organization and he reckons he's going to remake the world.
It's probably the biggest disruptor.
It is hugely disruptive. Yeah. But yeah, like I've said, there are so many other moving parts as well. There's politics behind all of this because political relationships, the status of the dollar as the world's most important reserve currency. Recently, a major new world power has come to the fore, China, for example.
Sure. I was going to ask you about that. I was surprised. I mean, if the U.S. take on China in a trade war, I kind of understand it, but it feels like he's punishing all countries, the smallest, most seemingly insignificant ones, which seems like a bit of flexing, a bit of power play. That's where I lose this whole thing.
Yes, I think that is the deal making. That's the way he makes deals. He sees this as a business transaction. You know, come in with a big bang and sort of threaten everybody and then settle on something much easier. But if there's a trade war, which there is actually, between the United States and China, then the U.S. is going to come out looking much better, I think.
You think?
Everybody's going to will be worse off. Everybody, including the U.S. But the U.S. imports far more from China than what they export to China. The U.S. economy is the world's biggest consumers. The Chinese are not big consumers yet because they are not rich yet. on a per capita basis. So the America will be better off, I think, if there's a real trade war. But he's been backtracking. I mean, this morning he said that the electronics will not be levied.
The phones, electronics
that
and stuff.
Stuff like that.
Realized. It's because the Chinese are saying, listen, we've been around much longer than America. We will be fine without them. Which is also political talk, right?
Yeah, but there are, and like I've said, there are so many moving parts. In the meantime, the Chinese have bought a lot of financial instruments, United States financial instruments, like especially U.S. government debt instruments. They're called treasury bills or TBs.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me just rephrase that. The Americans, because they're running this huge deficit on their trade accounts, they pay a lot of dollars into the rest of the world, and those dollars are used by the world as the world's currency.
Sorry,
US dollar.
I'm going to ask you to dumb it down from time to time for me.
Okay.
Just explain that to me quickly.
And me.
Just to explain that quickly, they're in deficit when it comes
to... Let me give you a simple example. Yeah. So the Americans, they import more from South Africa than what they export to South Africa, for example.
Yes, yeah.
That means that they pay us dollars. We've got surplus dollars.
Okay.
And that dollars go to the South African Reserve Bank.
Yes.
And Lesetja Kanyahu, the governor of the South African Reserve Bank, he doesn't take these dollars and put it in his couch. Like, you know, he takes these dollars and he reinvests it back in the United States, and he buy government debt instruments in the US. And the US government is a huge borrower. They borrow a lot of money. And we actually lend money to the Americans. So this money, the surplus money that flows out of the US to us, will put it back in, we'll reinvest it back in the United States. And the Chinese do exactly the same. And they've got huge amounts of dollars reinvested back in the United States. And that put them in a bit of an awkward position, because those are their assets. So if they can't just sell it. Because if they sell it, they've got massive amounts of these government debts that they've lent to the US government. Then they will sit up with dollars. And what do you do with the dollars? You buy gold from somebody else, and that's, by the way, what they have been doing. And then somebody else got this, all these dollars. And what do they do with the dollars?
How significant is South Africa's role? Because he seems... Let me give you some numbers. Is he angry with us because of Elon?
No. He's. I think he's just born angry. If you look at South Africa, South Africa is completely and totally irrelevant. Really, from a bigger picture, we're talking the United States is 25% of the world's economy. They are big.
25%
of the world's economy.
The world's economy.
South Africa is 0.3% of the world economy. If South Africa used to be, say, 0.5% of the world economy 20 years or whatever ago, but we've been falling back because the economy has not been growing because of the mismanagement of the ANC. The South African economy has become irrelevant, basically.
0.3%.
We are a minnow. We think we are these big players. Listening to our political leaders, they're talking about a deal between equals. This is no equals. Now, Donald Trump is the biggest bully on the playground. Let's accept that. But he's the only bully there.
He's also sitting with 25%.
The best you can do is just be quiet and sit in a corner somewhere.
What is the... And China? What in terms of percentage?
Depending on how you calculate this. If you do it normal market exchange rate, China is approximately about 15-20% of the world economy. But if you look at that so-called purchase... Now I'm confusing everybody. But if you... But there are various ways of looking at the size of the economy. You can simply look at the way exchange rates tell you what the size of an economy is, or you can adjust it for certain things, like, for example, the Big Mac Index.
Okay.
It's called purchasing power parity. Yeah. In that case, the Chinese economy is actually bigger than the U.S. economy.
Uh-huh.
But the reality is things are measured in U.S. dollars, and that's the reality making the U.S. economy the biggest in the world.
And still, the second biggest?
Is China.
China, third biggest?
Europe. Europe is as an economy. Europe is as an economy. It's the third biggest economy. And then a couple of other ones, like, for example, Japan. Okay. And India is also quite a large economy.
Yeah, yeah.
And Russia, I know they're doing quite a lot of things recently. Yeah. But that's actually a relatively small economy. But the Russian economy, if I remember correctly, is something like about 3% or so of the world economy. And the whole of Africa, something like 2% of the world economy. The whole of Africa.
You mentioned South Africa 0.3. We're going to talk about the 0.5 VAT increase in a couple of moments' time. Also, baie moet te gesels. Ek vind het verskrikkelijk interessant om jy het makkelijk maak om te verstaan. Davy, baie dank het jy is volgend. Because the last couple of months, I think a lot of us have just trying to follow this like a tennis match. This way, that way, and you're like, has the world gone crazy? But there's so much to explain behind it. Ons gaan meer daarmee uitkom. Enige vrae vir Dawie vanoggend, Dawie Rood op die show, 0848500942.
I tell you, you hear it in the news, you see it on your social media feed all the time. We're talking here about the Trump tariffs. It's now famously called. The one thing that he has done is, as in the words of Dawie Rood, he's turned the world upside down. He has forced people to come to the table. Huge disruptor. Dawie, in your honest opinion, is he going to achieve what he set out to achieve? Or is he going to get more than we think anyway out of this whole thing?
Well, I don't know. I really am not sure really what he wants to achieve. He tells us a couple of things. He tells us he wants to make Canada another state of the United States. He wants to take over an island here and there. And, yeah. I mean, he wants to do all sort of things.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wants to colonize the moon next, I guess.
Right.
So I just don't know. But what I do know is that the world's going to look completely different after this. Okay. At various levels. Yeah. Not only in terms of finance, not only in terms of trade, but in terms of politics as well. Like, see, for example, the relationship between the United States and Europe was a very solid relationship for decades, literally. They've got this pact. Defense pact going. Mm. Is that still applicable? Because he says that they have to start spending much more on defense, for example, and he's getting quite close to Putin until about a week ago, and now they're not good friends anymore. I mean, it's on and off kind of thing. Mm. What will happen if China decides to invade Taiwan, for example?
Yeah,
will America still come to their defense? I just don't know. I just don't know these sort of things. The world's going to look different, that's what.
So his thing with China, I mean, got quite heated, and China hitting back quite strongly. Now he's expecting them to reach out next to come to some kind of deal.
He backtracked quite a lot the last couple of days by lifting the tariffs on the electronic goods and cell phones and things like that.
Dawie, can I ask? I just wanted to know why does Trump hate Lesotho so much? Because weren't they hit with the highest tariffs in the whole world, and they're a tiny country?
No, he doesn't even know where it is.
No.
Okay, let me just explain how these tariffs are. The tariffs are calculated. I said earlier that if you look at the trade between countries, it can consist of physical stuff. And that's the only stuff that Donald Trump is looking at. And he ignored other things, like, for example, non-physical imports and exports, software stuff, as an example. And then he uses a formula. I'm not going to get too technical, but basically what he does, he says the difference between the two countries is X, that is called the trade deficit.
Yeah.
And that trade deficit as a percentage of total trade is X, and half of that is the tariff.
Has it confused deficits with debt?
But this is completely and totally incorrect of looking. But some people would argue it might be incorrect, but it's sort of easy to calculate, and it's sort of more or less in the right direction. Like I've said, there are bits of truth on both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's not really correctly calculated. And in the case of Lesotho, for example, is that they export much more to the United States than what they import from the U.S. because they don't consume the stuff that the U.S. produces because it's a poor country. And they only've got a few factories exporting some T-shirts to the United States. So unfortunately, based on this specific calculation, then Lesotho is going to got zapped with this 50% import duty.
Like Namibia. Okay, let's talk about the actual impact that all of this is going to have on us South Africans. How is it going to affect us?
I think what we have to understand is that the world economy, because of this, the world economy is going to grow slower.
Yeah.
Some economists are actually predicting a global recession or even a recession for the U.S. Mm. And if the world economy grows slower, that's bad for the rest of the world, including South Africa. Mm. It also will have implications for things like, for example, global inflation, global interest rates, and that will spill over to South Africa as well. Mm. So point I want to make, whatever happens internationally will have an impact on the South African economy. In the meantime, the South African economy is in a very, very bad place. The South African economy has been mismanaged for decades by, and I can give you all sort of names, what I think of what has been done to the South African economy, but I just got here this morning. There are potholes. This place is dirty. The place is imploding. And that goes for the state-owned enterprises, the local authorities, government accounts, and all of that. And the result of all of that is very, very weak economic growth in South Africa. The Minister of Finance said that the economy is going to grow about 1.8% this year. He's wrong. It's unlikely that we're going to see 1.8% economic growth. My estimates initially was for about 1.5% economic growth. Now, with all the most recent developments, I think we're going to struggle to get to 1%, even less. It's even possible, depending, that South Africa can dip into a recession. So all of this added up to a very weak economy is not good news for us. We've got, and I can give you the numbers, unemployment and poverty sort of things. So we are in deep, we were in deep trouble previously, and things are going to get much worse because of most recent developments.
Is that why we need to pay more VAT? Because we need money.
The VAT thing is a bit of an interesting one. And let me see how much time I have. Let me just explain quickly. I'm not going to use the round numbers. Okay. So the Minister of Finance says he's in deep trouble. He needs more money. And that is true. The fiscal accounts, that's what the Minister of Finance is responsible for, has become unsustainable for various reasons. Mostly because of mismanagement by government for a very, very long time. So they need more money. The answer actually is for them to spend less money, because that's the issue. Spend less money and spend it better. But they need more money. And they said, okay, the only tax that they can increase that will bring in substantial amounts of money is VAT. And in increasing it by 0.5% is going to give them about 10 billion extra. But in the meantime, SARS announced about 2 to 3 weeks ago, they collected about 10 billion more in the previous period, the previous financial year, than what they thought previously. So the 10 billion is there already. They don't need to increase the VAT, actually. So actually what we have today is political grandstanding. We've got political parties trying to see who's going to blink next. This is a game of chicken between political parties. That's what it is. It's not about VAT anymore, actually. It is about just politicians and fooling around.
And who suffers from it?
Us, of course. We have been suffering under an incompetent government for very long. And this is another example of that. So we need to put pressure. I'm against it. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm actually in favor of a VAT increase and a substantial increase in VAT. But then we must reduce some other much more harmful taxes in the economy.
All right.
Like, for example, company taxes and personal income taxes. They are much more harmful than VAT. But I'm very much against an increase in any tax if that means more money going to politicians. Because politicians, they spend what is available and more. So the only way to get politicians to spend less money is to simply starve them of money. And that's where we are now. Keep the pressure on them. Do not give them more money and force them to spend less and more efficiently.
But what I don't understand is that it doesn't seem to be concluded. But yet I get notifications from banks saying, as from this date, there will be an increase in fees. Okay.
This is a legal question, actually, because the way I see this, it's going to become effective the 1st of May, this 0.5% increase in VAT.
I saw that.
Yeah. So, but apparently, and again, let's go, I said this is a legal question, apparently it's possible for the Minister of Finance to postpone the date. But in the meantime, the DA and other political parties can't blink, because they're going to lose political capital. The ANC can't blink, because then they would have lost out to the DA. So this is a political...
I was just about to say, this is now where the political game becomes very bad for us, because if they don't do it, it looks like the opposition wins, and that's they're not going to let that happen, right? So once again, we're going to pay with the collateral. Ek beloof jy gou vra, hierso Dawie Shereg.
Yes.
If you have a few rand spare, should one move it abroad these days with the rand being so unstable, or what would you suggest? Thanks.
Okay, a paar vrae daarso. Die eerste een is dat die rand is baie onderwaardeer waar hy nou is. Die rand behoort eintlik om teen 17 te staan vir die dollar. Hy staan hier by 19 vir die Amerikaanse dollar. En daar's redes na voor. Ons betaal 'n prys vir hierdie wanbestuur van Suid-Afrika en natuurlik Trump se kapriola. So op hier, as jy nou 'n timing wil reg hê, timing is gewoonlik nie 'n goeie idee nie. Jy weet, so maar dis altyd 'n goeie idee om goed gediversifiseer te wees plaaslik en internasionaal, maar die rand dink ek is so iets wat aan die te swak kant op hierdie stadium. Maar om die vraag eintlik te probeer antwoord, dit hang af wie jy is. Vir party mense, as jy 90 jaar oud is en jy het 'n miljoen rand en dis al wat jy het, vat jy miljoen rand en sit dit in die kapitaalmark en dis al wat jy doen. Moenie dit in dollars en goeder gaan sit nie. Maar as jy jong is en jy het 'n miljoen rand by jou ouma geerf, byvoorbeeld, sit die helfte in een of ander internasionale blootstelling, wat die geval ook al mag wees. So dit hang af wie jy is. Die antwoord is, kry vir jou 'n goeie finansiële adviseur om jy help om hierdie tipe van besluit te neem. Dit is nie net een besluit nie. Jy moet weet wat is jou behoeftes is, hoe oud jy is, wat is jou risikoprofiel, daar's 'n klomp goeders. Jy moet nie my enkele vraag vra nie, want dit hang af wie jy is en waar uit dit bestaan.
Wat is jou uitsien die rand? Sterker, swakker, baie erger?
Oor tyd gaan die rand aanhou verswak.
Is
dit? Ja, die rand oor tyd. Maar in die kort termyn dink ek is dit bietjie oordoen. Soos ek jou gesê het, ek dink die rand behoort om nader aan 17 te wees. Ek sê nie hy gaan 17 toe gaan, ek sê waar hy behoort te wees, gebaseer op die wyse hoe ek het bereken. So ek dink die rand miskien kort om gaan wel bietjie verstewig. As jy rand hierso by 18 rondkom, gaan ek nou nogal reken dit is as jy nou wil skuif. Maar weer ek jy moet nie die mark probeer time nie, want jy gaan dit nooit reg kry nie. Die mark is net te slim vir jou daar buitekant. Maar ek dink in die kort termyn gaan die rand waarskynlik verstewig.
One more quick question.
I see companies using this VAT increase to increase their annual fees. We've received all letters for their annual increase, and when they announced the 0.5 VAT increase, we got another letter stating, oh, it's now a rand 20 more because of the VAT increase. But they've got already the annual increase. You can do the sums. 1 rand 20, 25 million people. Who's going to complain about 1 rand 20? Are they going to revert back if that 0.5% VAT increase is not implemented?
This is a mess. I mean, this is a mess and it's just getting bigger and bigger by the day. For some companies like banks, it will probably be relatively easy to turn that around, to scrap that 0.5% increase in VAT. But for many other companies, it's going to be very difficult. And so what's going to... The question is now, if I've started paying VAT, but they reverse it now, am I going to get the VAT? I don't know. It's a mess. It's a complete, total mess. And who causes? Our political leaders.
Yeah, it flows down the supply chain, right?
Yeah, but yeah, it's not really that much, 0.5% increase in VAT. But it is a mess. I don't know. Get a lawyer that understands constitutional law.
We're going to wrap it up with Davi Ritt in a moment. Stand by, because after 8 o'clock, a different guest moving into the studio. Completely different topic. Or is it?
This is Breakfast with Martin Bester. Jacaranda FM.
Just like Darby, a year loop so vinnig met al die goeters, but let's be honest about one thing. This has been on your radar, on your headline, in your headlines, on your feed for the last couple of months. Trump tariffs. That's how 2025 started for us. Trump coming back into power. The Elon Musk factor. Wat is daai storie? Ou van hier van Pretoria af. Wat 'n groot rol speel hy? Want mense, there's also a divided opinion about how much influence he has.
I think he's got Donald Trump's ear.
Yeah.
And I also have a suspicion of two personalities like that is not going to get along forever. He hasn't got official political power. He's a good buddy of Trump, I think. And I think he will start getting bored pretty soon. He's probably going to fade away.
It does seem like a wild card. I mean, he that guy is fearless.
Yeah, he's got a risk appetite. You know, looking at the way that he's built his businesses, I mean, this guy takes chances. And he has been, let's say he has been lucky, but you know, you only get lucky if you try something. And he's been trying stuff. And he's really, really good. He's really, really brilliant what he's built. And he's a very, very powerful guy. He's worth gazillions of dollars. He's a very, very rich guy.
That can also be dangerous.
Well, it makes you think that you are very powerful. And that's what he thinks he is.
Trump.
Yeah, and Donald Trump as well. But Donald Trump really is powerful. I mean, he's got everything behind. He's got the United States behind him for now, at least for 4 years.
Well, such a powerful guy. He's being told by local politicians to, hey,
I can tell you there's one thing. There's one thing Donald Trump is scared of.
What's that?
And that's the capital market, okay. The bond market. Now, let me just explain quickly where it is. And this is the reason why I turned the tariffs around, why it's been flip-flopping on the tariffs. The capital market is where they borrow money, where American government borrows money, and they borrow a lot of money. The governments, including South Africa, they borrow the bulk of their money on the capital market. Now, the capital market is the biggest financial market out there, far bigger than the JSE. So Donald Trump imposed all these sort of tariffs. The equity market, the JSE, for example, Dow Jones, NASDAQ, and all those, they collapsed, they fell. Usually money flows from there into the capital market because that is seen as a very safe haven to park your money when you're unsure about things. Suppressing interest rates there, and that will then, that's at least the rumor, allow Donald Trump to take all this expensive debt of the United States government and swap it for cheaper debt, for lower interest debt. But what initially the bond market appreciated, or interest rates came down, but then the bond market also bombed out.
Oh,
and then
that's a problem for him.
And that's what really got him scared. He said, no, listen, the bond market is without a doubt, bond market is the most powerful market out there, and it's the bond market that got Donald Trump to reverse his decision on the various tariffs.
Do you all think he's going to make it out to South Africa?
Or, I don't think he's going to be here for the G20.
For the G20.
I don't think he's going to be here.
Yeah, but he's been told by local politicians, you better come. So now.
We're waiting for you.
They are South African politicians that think they are, you know, that powerful that they're going to tell him. And he's going to go, okay, well, now, Namibia versus Lesotho versus South Africa. Yeah. Okay, I promised you one last question from your side.
Alle Amerikaanse produkte lyk so goed wat sê designed in the USA, maar ons almal weet dit kom van China af. Wat gaan hy daaromtrent doen? Want dit beteken dan die einde van baie van sy Amerikaanse produksie.
Nee, dit is nie waar nie. Amerika is die tweede grootste produsent in die wêreld in 'n geval. So as daar staan made in the USA, dan is dit waarskynlik gemaak in die USA. Dit is wel so, maar aan 'n sekere paar goedertjies wat deurslip ernstiger wat nie daar gemaak is nie, maar dit is wel so, of ten minste so beweer Trump, dat baie maatskappye in China voer uit na na plekke soos byvoorbeeld Vietnam, en Vietnam sit dan 'n stempel op as hy made in Vietnam, maar is eintlik vervaardig in China. Dis wat Trump beweer, en ek vermoed hy is tot 'n mate reg wat dit dan betref.
Davie, ons het tyd het geloop ongelukkig, and we haven't even touched on BRICS and so many other things, so wonder when you've got time, please come back. Bye-bye, dankie vir jou tyd, waardeer dit vreeslik baie. I know it was a lot, but we are going to put it up on our podcast audio on demand section, so you can, like me, I just need to listen to it again and get my head around it. Surely interesting times ahead of us, and by interesting I mean tough. But we've been through tough times. The great thing about being South African is that you know, daar seker lande waar hierdie seker groot bom shock. Maar vir Suid-Afrikaners, jy weet, we've been through stuff.
Well, ek kan vir jou sê, ek is nou 'n ekonoom en ek kyk na die finansiële markte. Ek het nog nooit gesien wat nou besig is om te gebeur nie. En ek moet vir jou sê, afgesien daarvan dat mense hulle besighede en hulle werk en sulke goed verloor wat natuurlik baie hartseer is hierdie eintlik 'n verskriklike opwindende tyd.
I'm gonna take some time to see it that way.
Interesting.
You're with your own family. Breakfast with Martin Bester.